Call your attention tonight to the 9th chapter of Luke's Gospel, verses 51 through 56. And it came to pass, when the time had come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was set as though he would go to Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. And this is the word of God, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last week we started looking at various aspects of the face of our Lord, and we saw last Sunday evening something of the element of sternness. As seen in the text, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Tonight I want us to look at the steadfast face of our Lord. From the text, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. What do you see in this face of our Lord Jesus? First, there is commitment. When you're committed to a thing, it is no longer open to question. The issue is settled. And throughout the life of Jesus, we see a person totally committed at whatever the cost to the will of his Heavenly Father. Look back, if you would, to the glimpse of him that we have in the early years at age of 12 when he was carried by his parents to Jerusalem. And you remember they lost him there and went back and found him in the temple. And they were sort of rebuking him for being there and causing them anxiety and concern. And he said, "Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" Or if you come a few years later to his baptism, he who knew no sin went to John, humbled himself, and identified with all sinful humanity to picture the need of all people to repent and have their sins forgiven. When we move to his temptations, we see Jesus tempted to take the easy way, to gather a following by feeding the hungry, to gather a following by doing spectacular deeds such as jumping from the temple, or by following the ways of the devil. But Jesus was committed to God's will, and he will go in that will to seek to save the lost by the way of love, regardless of the cost. Moving quickly through his life, we see Jesus in our text shortly after his transfiguration experience, where he and Moses and Elijah spoke of Jesus' decease, which was soon to be accomplished in Jerusalem. And Luke said, "It came to pass, when the time had come that he should be received up." When the time came that he should die, if you would, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Regardless of the cost, Jesus is committed to the Father's will. When you move on into Gethsemane, we find Jesus in deep distress as he prays, and he prays in such agony that Luke says his sweat became as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He doesn't want to die. Nobody wants to die at 33 years of age in the prime years of their life. Not you, not anyone else. And Jesus there prays, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." He prays this three times at least. But each time he doesn't stop there. He is committed to the Father's will. He's ready to do whatever the Father seems is necessary. And he prays on. "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And finally, when we come to Calvary, and see Him dying on the cross, he reaffirmed what had been true all of his life as he said, "Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit." In life or in death, he was firmly committed to the Father's will. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Another thing we see here is the steadfast face is the courage of our Lord. All of us can tell what we would do in some difficult or dangerous situation and affirm how brave and courageous we would be. However, oftentimes a person who talks and looks so big and sturdy and noble where there are no difficulties present is shown to be just the opposite when trouble comes. We see this in Peter, you remember? And all the rest of the disciples have said, "If we must die with you, we would never, never deny you." All of them said that. And yet, when the time of testing came, Peter denied him and the rest forsook him and fled. None of us in our best moments really want to know what the future holds. Quite frankly, I sometimes find myself in a bad way because I begin to try to borrow trouble from tomorrow. But Jesus said, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And no one of us really wants to know, at our best, we don't want to know what the future holds. And if we did know the trouble that may be before us, we might well cringe in fear as the prospect of trouble or suffering. But in Jesus, we see a courage that never falters, no matter how great the peril to be faced or how rough the road to be traveled. Almost from the beginning of his ministry, or you could say even from the beginning of his life, Jesus encountered fierce opposition. Herod tried to have him put to death when he was a child. When he first went to Nazareth after he began his ministry, hometown folks came to hear him, and he so enraged them that they took him out at the edge of town, going to throw him over a cliff and get rid of him. Soon he raised the anger of the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and others as they came again and again to try to trap him in his teaching. If not at the beginning, surely early in his ministry, Jesus could see an invisible cross hanging over his life and getting more and more vivid as he went on. He knew that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man had to be lifted up. He knew that he'd come to give his life a ransom for many. He knew what the future held, and in courage he pressed on. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. What courage! It tells us that they went. As they went in the way going to Jerusalem, Jesus went before his disciples and they were amazed. As they followed, they were afraid. He was pressing on, pressing on. Jesus, committed to the Father's will, shows an unwavering courage as he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. This commitment, this courage, is also the calmness of Jesus. We see this especially in the upper room as he talks about his coming death. And he institutes the Lord's Supper. He breaks the bread and gives it to disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is to be given for you." And after that, he took the cup and passed it around, saying, "Drink this. This is my blood, which is to be shed for you." We see his calmness as he announces that one of the 12 there will betray him, and all the rest will be scattered from him in fear. We see his calmness as he promises to the 12 something of his joy and his peace. How majestic, our Lord. He had a faith that while he was committed to the Father's will, nothing could ultimately harm him. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was committed. He was courageous. He was calm. But let's apply this vision of the steadfast face to ourselves. The steadfast face is before us. It's much more, infinitely more than the face of a hero to be imitated. It's the face of a Savior to be trusted. A Savior who is actually able to give himself to us in our surrendered soul to reproduce his own dear likeness. With that face before us, let us ask ourselves if its features of commitment and courage and calmness are reflected in our own lives. Ask yourself tonight, am I a committed person? Have I found something or someone to give my life to that is higher and more noble than living just for myself? Have I really committed my life to live for God, for His will as it's revealed in Jesus Christ? Have you done that? Have you denied yourself? Have you taken up your cross each day to follow Him? Does Jesus and God's will really come first in our thinking, our planning, our acting? Are we fully committed to Christ? Many of our problems grow out of our lack of decision. St. Augustine told of his own life. He told how the Spirit of God came to him when he was a wayward youth. The call of the Spirit was, "Awake, thou that sleepest." And Augustine confesses, "There was naught in me to answer thy call but the drowsy, drawling words, 'Yes, yes, presently, in a little while.'" But that presently had no present, and that little while grew long. Is this a picture of us? Have we heard the voice of God calling us to commitment? And have we intended someday we're going to make a total commitment of our life to God? But not just yet. You will never know. Life as God planned it for us. We will never know the fullest meaning, purpose, and satisfaction for our lives until we come to that point of surrender where we commit all of our life to God's will. Have you committed your all to God? And concerning courage, as we saw it in Jesus, do you have His courage in you to face all of life's problems with confidence? Some people just try to run out of trouble. Do anything to keep from getting in trouble. They've compromised their position, their principles, their conviction to try to remain friendly or popular with everyone. I had a man in the church years ago, a good man. But he's talking to me one day. He said, "I've never done anything in church except attend, because I was afraid I'd make somebody mad. I've never done anything in church except attend because I was afraid I'd make somebody mad." And another man told me one day, "I've never been in a fuss in the church, and I never intend to be." Well, it's been my experience that if you take a stand for Jesus, if you're truly committed to Him and His will, sometimes you're going to make somebody mad. And sometimes, even in the church, in a board meeting, there might even be a fuss. If we follow Jesus, there's going to be trouble out there. Jesus said, "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." He said, "If anyone would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." He said, "In the world you're going to have trouble, tribulation. Be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world." Being fully committed to Christ always makes a person different, and it's never popular to be different. If you remember what it was like when you had teenagers at home, they all wanted to dress like, act like, talk like all the others. They didn't want to be different. Never popular to be different. To love all people equally, to care for all people, to stand for God and truth and right in all of our dealings is not the way of the majority. To do it, you will have trouble. Now, I'll confess to you tonight that I'm naturally a coward. I don't like disagreements, misunderstandings, hard feelings in the church. And yet I've found across the years the best way to handle problems is just face them head on. Go to the person that there's a problem with. Go to the group there's a problem. Try to come head on and come to some understanding. And thank God He gives us strength to face up to the problems of life, assured that in Christ we have nothing to fear. The ultimate victory is with God. Are you committed to Him? Do you have His courage in your life? And have you let Him share His calmness with you? In the upper room, Jesus bequeathed His peace to His disciples. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Throughout the centuries, those who have committed their lives to Him have found His peace to be vital and real, even in the midst of persecution and death. And as He lives in us, He will give us a peace that passeth all understanding. You know His peace, His calmness. Jesus was committed to the Father's will, and out of this commitment came courage and calmness. Are we totally committed to Him? Totally surrendered to God's will for our life? He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. Have we steadfastly set our face to follow Him in all situations, in all circumstances, in all ages and phases of life? Have we truly decided to follow Jesus with no turning back? Lord Jesus, too often times we voice our commitment to You. But too often times it's just a matter of words instead of reality. May we, as best we know how, surrender ourselves totally to You tonight. And out of that commitment come to know Your courage, Your calmness, Your peace in our day-to-day living. Help us day by day to take up our cross and follow you. And it's in your wonderful name that we pray. Amen.